na 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 na
listening in
via her phone.
Betty Jo Tucker movie at a headquarters every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And I believe this week, in the next 3 days, it's going to be Cake a Love Story. That incredible interview with that, what's her name? Nancy Lombardo. Okay. Having fun with you. All righty. Let's see. I don't know what we're starting today.
block your attempt, time to rise.
and Pop Shop every Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. You go to All right. I'm going to play this next thing. Oh, so hard to... Oh, let's see. This is a funny one.
The man. The boy. The legend. Roger. We loved Roger so much, yet watching him there, pale, disgustingly sick, things on his face. Gee, Roger, you look gross.
They said I'm getting better, Ingrid.
They lied. I'm sorry, Roger. I didn't know how to break it to you, but you don't have long, Roger. Not only that, Roger, you have no friends. We took a poll to see who would come here. I lost. I'm here now, Roger, on a bet.
You're my wife, Ingrid. If you wouldn't come to visit me in the hospital in my last Thursday afternoon, who would? Certainly not my daughter.
No, not your daughter.
The daughter I tried so hard to be a good father for, Ingrid.
That's right, Roger. She's off. She's becoming a punkette. She's getting her hair cut now in celebration of the insurance money to come. We'll all miss you, Roger, but not that much.
I couldn't help noticing that you were still seeing Bernard Lois, our insurance salesman, Ingrid.
Yes, and we've doubled your policy. It's great, Roger, the things that I will get after you go away. My benefits will increase. I'll be able to afford everything you never could buy me, Roger, and I want to thank you for that.
I tried to be a good husband, Ingrid. I tried to be a good father to that rotten brat. But now my time is short, Ingrid. I know that that bright white light is telling me to come hither. And soon I'll walk through that door we call life and death, and I'll be into the beyond.
And if you die by 7:45... I'll win the office pool, Roger. Do you think you could rush it a little?
Well, I'll try, honey. I didn't know they were placing bets on the actual time.
Yes.
Promise me something, Ingrid.
What? Anything, Roger.
Promise me if you do remarry to Bernard Lois that you won't let him... Goodbye.
Roger? 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 Come on. Roger, are you really dead? Are you playing a joke, Roger? Come on, Roger. Oh, Roger. Roger was gone. And we'll all miss him. Well, that's stretching a bit. But when Roger reaches that door, or if Roger reaches that door, there will be someone behind him waiting. Waiting and hoping. And hoping that Roger will never return. Goodbye, Roger. Good riddance. Let's scatter his ashes in the wind and hope it hits anywhere.
And this next piece I'm going to play is a favorite of mine. This was Taylor Negron, who passed away about 2 years ago. Brilliant storyteller, and you might remember him from his part in the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High as a pizza guy, but he was in a ton of other films. A terrific guy, but I love this story, so I'd like to share it with you. Just hang in there till the end, because it's got a great punchline. Here we go. Taylor Negron.
Please welcome Taylor Negron.
I was born in Los Angeles in a house in a canyon that was in a nest of palm trees that casted these thin, unmoving shadows like prison bars. It was very California Gothic. I am very California Gothic. I am the child of those people that you used to see in the ads for cigarettes in the back of Life magazine. Those handsome people that were always wearing terry cloth robes and penny loafers, smoking cigarettes, looking like they just heard the funniest joke of their life. The Marlboro man met the Virginia Slims woman and had me. It's very California Gothic to have your best friend's mother, who is a movie star, keep her cracked Oscar in the kitchen next to the salt and the cumin and the coumadin. It's very California Gothic to see Joan Didion crying at the wheel of her green Jaguar on Moorpark below Ventura. It's very California Gothic to have a cousin who is a rock star. My cousin is Chuck Negron, the lead singer for the group Three Dog Night. And he bore a startling resemblance to Charles Manson. Now, when you were a kid like me in 1970, growing up in Los Angeles, you knew that you shared the city with Charles Manson and his family. Because that grisly, murderous night of mayhem and helter-skelter was all anybody could talk about. And for those of you who are too young to know what helter-skelter is, it's kind of like twerking, but with blood. And it was really scary. Really horrifying. And my parents, they were always going out on the town. They were always getting dressed up and leaving like in Mad Men, right? They just left me alone. They just went out. One night my father came in and he said, I want you to close all these doors and windows. I don't want these hippies to come in here and de-gut you. You heard him. That was an option in my childhood, to be de-gutted. And it left a tremendous psychic scar on my life that has stayed with me forever. And I'm still very disturbed by hippies and long hairs and headbands and large candles and beads and bandanas. I just don't like any of it. But I was only 12 years old. I was a tween. I was a changeling. I was changing into a man. But childhood is a place where your fears are disproportionate. They're huge. But then so are your goals. And that's where the magic can happen, in these goals. And my goal when I was a child was to own a gorilla. A monkey or an ape, anything from the monkey, ape, gorilla family. I just wanted someone to, be able to play hide and go seek with, swim, shoot dice, light ironing. And my parents were these really emphatic kind of ghetto people from New York City, right, who didn't like animals at all. And my mother said, look, you will never, ever see a monkey walk through that door. But something very magical happened that Christmas of 1970. You see, my uncle Ishmael, that was his real name, Ishmael, he was a trucker. And he had his own flatbed truck, which meant that he could follow other people around who had flatbed trucks and pick up what fell off of theirs. And one day he was closing down this raggedy-ass Circus Vargas in the Hollywood Bowl parking lot on Highland, and he came across a monkey that somebody was throwing out. A live monkey. Named Carol. Two R's, two L's. And we knew it was called Carol because it had its own cage with its name on it. And that is what changed the deal with my parents, because they are emphatic New Yorkers. So they said, well, if it's free and it comes with a cage, what harm can it do? Well, Carol came to the house. I was so excited. Carol arrived on that flatbed truck on a pile of grapefruits in his cage. And when I went out there and greeted him and I looked into those big round eyes, I knew that I would understand everything that monkey had to say to me, and that I would experience unconditional love. Well, the monkey promptly squatted, shat into its hand, and then threw it into my eye, underpaw. And from the shadow, I heard the ice clink in my mom's drink. And she said, "That's your monkey." I loved my monkey so much, and I stuck with my monkey while everybody turned against my monkey. Sometimes they even put a sheet over its cage. I stuck with my monkey when my monkey willfully and intentionally fucked my grandmother's mink hat, and I took the blame. Carol was my most cherished early Christmas present. But Carol was not the only unexpected visitor that season. One Christmas night, the Santa Ana winds blew too hard against the glass in cold, frightening Los Angeles. I had fallen asleep into a deep Christmas sleep, and I looked out the window, and I saw a van pull up in front of the house, turn off, and just stop. Nothing happened for 30 minutes. Nothing happened. And I thought to myself, this is it. This is my nightmare. It's going to come true. And I thought to myself, well, at least I made it to 12. Then I looked out, and the door opened up, and then finally this plume of smoke rolled out, and these hippies came out on wobbly feet and started slinking up to the front of the house. And as the cast of Woodstock approached, I felt vulnerable in my Charlie Brown sleeping t-shirt. And I waited for the physical and emotional attack to begin. There was a knock on the door, and I heard my mother's voice muffled. I knew she was dead, throat's cut. I had read the papers. But then I heard her say, "Grilled cheese sandwiches for everyone." Why was my mother giving protein to a serial killer? And then there was a blast as my father came into my room and he said, "Your cousin Chuck is here, come down." And I timidly followed my father down the stairs to see in the living room what appeared to be Mama Cass Elliot, Jim Morrison, and assorted long hairs devouring Christmas cookies. My cousin stood shyly holding a Three Dog Night album at the stereo, and he told us he was going to play a song for us that no one had ever heard before. Side one, song A. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him a drink of his wine. And on that cold, windy night, everyone stood up and started to dance. My father grabbed my mother and they started to dance. I looked over and Jim Morrison, the Jim Morrison, was dancing the jitterbug with my grandmother on the coffee table. It was so extraordinary. It was so magnificent. The hippies and the long hairs were all singing along to choruses of joy to the world. Oh, the boys and girls now. And then the song was over and someone picked up the needle and put it back at the beginning. And the song continued and the dancing continued. And there's something emblematic about certain California Christmas memories. And here is one that is transcendent, rock and roll. And this is what made my monkey legendary. He came down, hurtling down the stairs and went right up to the stereo and started dancing. Had we forgotten? Carol was a circus monkey. And this was her cue. You know I love the ladies. His arms outstretched like rubber bands, and he started picking off the ornaments from the Christmas tree. Love to have my fun. The monkey started to juggle. I'm a high night rider and a rainbow flyer, a straight shooting son of a gun. I said a straight shoot. I wish you were all there to have seen the expression on those stoned on it, we found out later, LSD, hippies, and my grandmother as Carol, my monkey, rightfully claimed the spotlight. Glee is a very good word to use because that's what it was, pure happiness and glee, because I was 12 years old and I was alive and I had escaped Manson's knife. And I had a monkey with talent. And as everybody danced, and as everybody laughed, and as everybody ate cookies, I looked at my family, I looked at these people, and all of their crimes, past, present, and future, seemed to just spill out and dissolve into the contours of the blue shag rug. And as Carol balanced an ashtray on his nose, it was as though I was looking into my future, because I realized all the glorious things that could happen with music and with joy. And that Christmas, the last one that I was ever a child, I learned a very important lesson that I'd like to pass on to you all tonight. And that's that no matter how horrible your day is, and no matter how scary your night is, everything can turn on a dime and with a knock on the door. Thank you.
Isn't that a great story? I love that story. It's such a, and it's so well told, but, and it's true, and that makes it even better. Well, we're winding down now. The end of our show. Betty Jo Tucker, still hanging in there. Okay, Betty. Cake, love story, the interview, check it out. Oh, and oh, got to mention now, you can see the movie. It's available now on Amazon Prime. which is great news. You can see me and George Bettinger towards the end. Okay, how many minutes do I have? Ooh, now I got to find something short to play. What can I say? Oh, here we go. Let's just go cray.
I wake up in the morning, didn't sleep well through the night. I tried to get some Z's, but the voices made me right. I need a cup of Java to jumpstart and feel pert. My boys can't see from my glazed eyes that I am not alert. Everything I tell you goes in one ear, out the other. Just do what I say and listen to me. You'll live longer. I'm your mother. Make me cray to the Z. Make me cray to the Z. No texting at the table. And put away your phone. The voices in my head won't leave me alone. I can write a song about it. I can tell a joke.
Today's show. Thank you for tuning in. This has been What's the Buzz and Why with your host, Nancy Lombardo. Remember, my CDs are available on CD Baby. Have a nice weekend, everybody. Just enjoy it. Okay. Give somebody a hug. Take a kiss. Bye-bye.